Well, welcome to the message this week. You know, we're having the hymn sing-along today, live and in person in church. But we're grateful for those of you who tune in to the online service, and we always want to make that available. But if you're listening to this early and you still want to get to the church in order to participate in the hymn sing-along, very similar to what Bill Gaither and them do, it's a wonderful time. We did it a few weeks ago, and we were truly blessed, and we thank Craig and Janie Zodi for leading us, and hope and pray you can listen to it online, if nothing else. Phil did a good job putting it online last time, and I'm sure he'll do a good job this time, too. Well, turning point. Did you ever hear that phrase, turning point? And I've been thinking about turning point, and I think I can relate it to repentance, because we need to turn around and to be able to look at our life and to be able to make better decisions, and we get to a turning point in life. You know, we all have life choices to make, and sometimes in looking at our path, we can feel that we have lost something only to acknowledge in the presence that we have gained so much more. You know, value for all of us lies not in the mistakes that we have made or in the losses that we have endured, but what we learn and make from both of these for our present and our future. Now, Christians, Christ followers, we take a step. Our greatest value lies not within what we are able to fix or redeem, but in what God redeems through us and, more importantly, despite us. Now, we see this playing out in the scripture that's online that I read in John 13. We joined the disciples in the midst of another flashback to their time in the upper room before Jesus' death. They had just celebrated the meal together when Jesus handed Judas a piece of bread and dipped it in wine and told him to go and do what he had to do, and do it quickly. Now, once Judas left the room, Jesus proceeded to explain to the remaining disciples once again about the events that were to come. And he would have to soon leave them, and that he would be glorified and become one again with God the Father. And they could yet come with him. And he left them with a last commandment, though, I love this, to love one another. And then he sought to comfort them. He would later tell them that he was explaining all of this so that when they come and the time comes for them, they would remember what he had told them and it would make more sense. So now the time has come. And they were remembering Jesus' words. And more than this, Jesus' words helped them to come to terms with what just happened. They saw past and his death, Judas' betrayal, their grief and the way that he was treated, and saw instead God's victory. For out of everything foolish that they and the others had done, God enacted a miracle. A salvation miracle, if you would, that would propel them forward in their mission for many years to come. So often in our own lives, we spend years in regret for decisions that we have made. I don't know about you, but I have. For mistakes that cost us relationships or jobs. For errors in judgment. For paths not taken. But regret can be like a deadly virus eating on the inside of us. Now, Jesus' words help us to know that God has a bigger plan for us and that we have for ourselves. And God has a bigger heart for us than we could ever muster. So I think the story of Judas, even though it's a sad one, after his betrayal of Jesus, I think he realized that Jesus was who he said he was and rose as he said that he would, enacting a much bigger plan of God than any human could afford or even think about. He couldn't deal with his own conscience. Now, some believe that Judas meant well. even if manipulative. And he thought that in turning Jesus into the authorities, that it would force Jesus' hand, that he would finally be forced to start an insurrection and restore the throne of Jerusalem. Now, I don't think he could understand why Jesus wouldn't go and get it done. And maybe Judas could get him to tip his hand, so to speak. Now, I don't know for sure, but if this was his plan, it certainly backfired big time, didn't it? Now, others believe that Judas simply was fed up with Jesus, the over-the-top grace that he was wasting, that perfumed oil by Mary. That was the last straw, and he was feeling irked and angry. And still, others believe that money was his primary motive, being that he had been stealing from the treasury all along. Now, we don't really know what took place in Judas' heart, do we? But whatever his reason, we'll never really know, because when he realized what he had done, he couldn't live with himself and couldn't face God. Little did he understand the magnanimous grace of that God and Jesus and what they are capable of. Now, what we do know is that out of that evil, God created good, as God is always going to do so. And what a super over-the-top victory shouting good it was. In the end, God's will was done. You know, the Bible says first comes death and then the judgment. So now I know old Judas had to face the judgment. But I think some of the times that we look in history, and there's a fellow by the name of Desmond Tutu that talked about his experience in life. And he wrote a book called Forgiving. Why? Because I think the amount of pain and cruelty and hatred and retribution that Desmond Tutu had seen and witnessed in his life goes far beyond our own imaginations. And yet, through God's help, he found it in himself to forgive those who have harmed him. And we are talking about some pretty serious harm that was done to him. Some of, you know, right up there with Judas kind of serious betrayal and harm. And yet, he found a way to love and to recognize that all the human in all of us and forge a path to forgive. It tells us that in the disciples' prayer, or commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, that if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So it's important that we realize that. Now, Tutu writes in his book, with each act of forgiveness, whether small or great, we move towards wholeness. And then he went on to write, forgiveness is how we bring peace to ourselves and to the world. I don't think it's a mistake that Jesus emphasized that with his disciples. Love one another. Both before and after his death and resurrection, the importance of love and peace. Now, Desmond Tutu, in his own journey, strongly believed that God's forgiveness must be our model for human forgiveness, and that through God's grace, we can learn to live and to love according to God's will. The will that we ask to be done on earth as it is in heaven every time we pray that prayer that Jesus taught. I think now he maybe understood that without God's strength, courage, and empowerment and grace, we cannot hope to accomplish this in our own life, whether forgiveness for others or forgiveness for ourselves. What's all this mean, preacher, to love? Well, I think it means to be inspired by God's amazing power to create beauty out of ugliness, victory out of betrayal, forgiveness out of unforgivable, and a restored life out of certain death. I think it means to rely on that miraculous power of God and to have faith that whatever we cannot do or accomplish on our own, that God has the ability to do it. Amen? You see, God's enactment of victory in the resurrection and the eternal life of Jesus is only the first step in God's amazing plan to redeem every one of us and grant us a brand new start. Don't you like it, getting up in the morning and you got a brand new day ahead of you? And Yeah, we can make the choices, life choices, to either mess it up or do something good or at least try. And then if we don't do it, we can start all over again tomorrow. So today, as we contemplate our own past, our own mistakes, our own regrets, our own pain, our own road not taken, know that out of all of this, God holds you in the palm of His hands, and He will create within you, and even in spite of you, something extraordinary and something beautiful. Something beautiful, something good. I love the hymns. Every one of us, as I mentioned in the youth message, is a child of God, and every one of us has open invitation to be part of God's masterpiece. There's a crack in everything. Think about that. You know, you look at a door or something like that at night, and you can see a crack, and somehow the light on the other side gets through that crack. God doesn't expect us to be perfect, and Jesus and Judas. Wow. That was a, you know, relational thing, you know. But Judas wasn't the only one who betrayed Jesus. Think about it. Peter denied him 3 times. Others fled and run away. Thomas doubted. But in the end, I love the buts and the ifs. But in the end, they gave up. And no one understood until it was all over what Jesus was trying to tell them. And yet, they still became His apostles. And so can you and me. Apostles meaning we go and teach what Jesus taught. So today, know that you are loved by God, who is love, and know that you are forgiven by the one who died for our sake, your sake, my sake, everybody's sake, and know that your life is restored no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. And know that even in the midst of the worst things that could happen, hallelujah, praise be to God, He always wins. So today, may God's light shine through you, and may you see the hope and the love that God has in store for you. And know that your cracks are not your shame. They are merely breaks in your storied path that show you where you have been. But your best is yet to come, and your past has been forgiven. So take that clean slate and enjoy life. So take Jesus' hands and keep on walking, church, walking through the gift of salvation with our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, hope and pray you have a wonderful day, and just know that God loves you, and so do we.